Hey, welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Devin, and today on the pod, we have a little bit of a different format. I interviewed a couple weeks ago a woman named Jess Phoenix. She's running for Congress out of California's 25th district, and she is a geologist who decided that she needed to run for Congress in this day and age. We had a great interview. She was so smart, so fantastic. We got a lot of positive feedback from that interview. And she actually invited me to an event she was hosting in Los Angeles, since I'm from the area. It was a ton of fun, and it was sci-fi themed. So, of course, I loved it. And I got to speak with a couple of celebrities who are from the kind of science fiction, sci-fi world, and get their thoughts on Jess and media, pop culture, and science. So today I have three mini interviews for you from actor Will Wheaton, actor Felicia Day, and actor Yetide Badaki. They were so fun to talk to, and yeah, it's a little bit different, but it's a very interesting conversation. So it is about Jess Phoenix and supporting her, but also their thoughts on women running for office, scientists running for office, and what we can learn from non-career politicians. So that's an exciting sort of different format for today. But first, I want to talk a little bit about something that's been in the news that I think is really important to talk about. And that is the census. So every 10 years, we do a census survey, which is designed to count the population in the United States. And it's in the news because the Trump administration is trying to add a question about citizenship. So generally, in the past, in the last 50 years, the census has not had a question about citizenship because the census is not about citizenship. So asking for citizenship information on the 2020 census is a political issue insofar that it is an overtly racist move to further isolate immigrants and undocumented persons, which, by the way, is a move that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III is attempting to link to enforcing the Voting Rights Act, which, kiss my ass, you personified Confederate flag. But, and this is really important, it is also a data issue. So stick a pin in that. We're going to come right back to it. A little bit about the census in general. The Constitution doesn't tell us as a country to actually do much. It is a set of guidelines that has allowed the court system to create a system of law based on interpretations and readings of this underlying framework. The Constitution is not a self-executing document for the most part. It doesn't lay out specific instructions for what we should do, but it does tell us to do a very few specific things, and one of which is taking detailed population data every 10 years, not citizenship data, population data. The census is designed to count the number of people living in the United States and not to count the number of citizens. And so the addition of a citizenship question not only goes against the purpose of the census, it will lead to more people ignoring the survey and thus undercounting the total population of any given area, because they have talked to a lot of people who have outright said, no, I will not fill out the census if it asks me about my citizenship status. So, and this current debate doesn't even really start to discuss the fact that many communities, mostly communities of color, are already undercounted by the census. And so adding this type of question will just lead to more undercounting. So, who cares? Well, to start with, every living person who has ever headed up the Census Bureau, they all unanimously agree, there's five of them, this question will lead to garbage data. And the Trump administration, on top of that, is trying to add this question without the proper focus groups or testing. And that, in and of itself, when you're talking about adding questions to a survey or a poll, without proper testing and proper understanding of what that question will do and what that will lead to, that in and of itself leads to garbage data. And that brings me to my next point, which, like I said before, this issue is not just about politics, it's about data. The census is used for a multitude of purposes. It's used to draw congressional districts, which is why we got gerrymandered all to hell in 2010, because the Republicans had a evilly brilliant 50-state strategy to controlling state legislatures and then use census data to redraw gerrymandered districts. It's also used to allocate federal funding for all sorts of projects, from infrastructure to Medicare. It's also used by businesses in academic research and, in the case of my father-in-law, amateur genealogy nerds. It's used in statistical models, budgets, you get the point. It's used a lot. And that's where science comes in. Like I said, speaking with Jess Phoenix, a geologist who's running for Congress, a lot of what she talked about was the importance of bringing science-minded thinking to the legislative process and really focusing on evidence and fact-based research and data to drive law. And she said, you know, that these people, that people who aren't career politicians and particularly who are career scientists, can bring this logical evidence-based thinking to politics. At this event she invited me to, like I said, I got to speak to a few celebrities about art, science, and why Jess is a great candidate. But what was also very interesting, that even though this was an event for Jess Phoenix specifically, a lot of people were just excited in general about women and women scientists running for office in general. Because without science-minded people in office, both in Congress and also running important offices like the EPA and the Energy Department, the importance of things like good data sets gets lost in a political dust storm. And just this morning or this afternoon on New York Times, I read an article about how the EPA is trying to roll back rules that require more cars to be cleaner and more efficient, because fuck science, fuck climate change, fuck what we know about how the world operates. Let's just roll back regulations for fucking fun. This citizenship question on the 2020 census is a political problem, but also a scientific one, which is why we need more scientists in office. So the Hylian of the week this week is, you've probably heard of him, a young activist named David Hogg. He was a survivor of the Parkland, Florida school shooting and has been outspoken on the issue of common sense gun reform. So on Twitter, Laura Ingraham, who's a Fox News talking head and has her own show, she mocked David Hogg for his college rejection letters, which is disgusting on so many levels. I mean, when I was in high school and getting my college letters, I didn't want anyone to know if I was rejected, let alone broadcast it out to the millions of people that follow Laura Ingraham. It's just gross. But in response, David Hogg made a list of her advertisers, and now, through the magic of Twitter, her show is losing ad money left and right. Also satisfying, Fox used to charge up to $40,000 for a commercial spot, and in the wake of Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, and other dickwad drama, both sexual harassment, sexual abuse, and then also just Sean Hannity being Sean fucking Hannity, they're down to about $8,500 to $12,000 per spot, which is insta karma, you bitch. So let's keep hitting them where it hurts. Her advertisers are Bayer, Liberty Mutual, Nutrisystem, Choice Hotels, Jenny Craig, Arby's, Cars.com, Carvana, DirecTV, Duracell, Esurance, Jose Bank, Honda, IBM, Kayak, and Lincoln Motor Company. And those are not all of them. That's just one list. So let's make some noise and tell those companies that we think they are full of shit if they support Laura Ingraham and her disgusting mocking of a teenage shooting survivor and activist. For the interview today, first up, you will hear from Yetide Badaki and Felicia Day. The woman you hear asking the question is a reporter from Whedonopolis who was there with me. And then next, you will hear from Will Wheaton in a longer segment in which he goes into more detail about why women running is so important. There are a few more interviews that I did on site that I will be putting up on our Patreon for our $5 and up supporters. You can find us at patreon.com/hellbentpodcast to hear from Bill Prady and a few other very fun people that I had the pleasure to speak with.
Why you both are motivated to be involved with Jess's campaign? What about her is so special?
Well, from the first, hearing that a scientist was running for Congress and hearing about how she wanted to bring, what was it she said, fact-based decision-making to politics. I know in this time of so much shaky information and things that you can't always feel like you can have a belief in, Jess and her message really spoke to me. And the first time I came across her was when she was speaking about using the principles of Star Trek in politics, which I would always joke with people, but that really influenced my worldview. As a young girl in Nigeria, I remember seeing Star Trek Next Generation and seeing these people working really hard to make all the best decisions they could. They would sometimes make mistakes, but it was always for the idea of betterment. And also one of the first times that I saw the idea of us as a human race evolving and doing better in the future, as opposed to ending up in a post-apocalyptic wasteland. So
we are in the darkest timeline right now.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty bad timeline. But there was such hope in her message, and that drew me immediately to her.
Yeah, to me, I just feel like, you know, I feel the same. I feel like there is a truce. I think there's a lot of people who now believe that there is relative truce. And at the end of the day, scientists can show you that there is truth. There is a ultimate truth that everyone cannot deny. And I think we need more of that in this world. And we need more people who are pushing, you know, for environmental preservation. And there's certain issues that a lot of people didn't turn out to vote last time because they said all politicians are the same. And I think we're very clearly in the middle of a situation where it's obvious that is absolutely not the case. And for me, there are some things that I feel very strongly that are very threatened, and a way of life that I don't want to see my child grow up in. And I want that to change. And I think we have to get the people out of office who are standing for things that are not for the benefit of the society. And so I think Jess is a perfect candidate for that. She's in a very nearby area in Santa Clarita. I've worked there a lot, so I feel personally involved. And it's the closest House seat in LA, from LA, that is a Republican seat that's held by somebody who doesn't really represent the views of the area. And so I'm really hoping that this is a seat that can be flipped, and I think Jess is the best person to do that.
Thank you very much.
Why are you supporting Jess?
First and foremost, we need more women in Congress. We need more women in every aspect of government. Mm-hmm. We need younger people in Congress. We need smart progressives in Congress. And Jess hits every single one of those boxes. She is not someone who grew up wanting to go work in the Congress. She's a person who saw a district that was underrepresented by an ultra-right-wing nut job who is completely out of touch with the district and with the nation.
Steve Knight's a mess.
Who voted against California and voted against his constituents just to be a loyal Trump Republican.
It's weird.
So she sees this stuff and decided, well, if not now, when? And
right.
if not me, then who? And I respect that so much.
Right.
And Tara Strong introduced me to her.
Okay.
And I was on board immediately.
Yeah.
She's incredibly smart. She represents everything that is good and right about America. She's going to be an amazing, amazing member of Congress.
Yeah, it's interesting because Steve Knight currently sits on some science commissions in Congress.
Right.
And is staunchly anti-science.
Yeah, and it's incredibly offensive. And I can't remember, I feel like it may have been President Obama who said, voting for some of these people is like going to a restaurant with chefs who hate food.
Right, right. So do you think that Jess's background in science is also something that's making her a much stronger candidate?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. We are living in a moment right now where I think people who have felt complacent, or who have felt like I can't make a difference, or who have felt like my voice will never be heard, have seen districts that went 20 points for Trump go for a Democrat in Pennsylvania. We've seen a Democrat win a statewide election in Alabama, of all places. We have, and we've seen these elections decided by a few hundred votes. And I think it makes it really clear to people that absolutely every vote matters. And one of the things that is so critical and so important for Jess's district is that district is not being represented by Steve Knight at all. Jess, with her science background, with her background in organizing and nonprofit work and field work, is someone who can really effectively and passionately represent the best interests of that district. And being a scientist is an enormous, enormous part of that. I never thought that I would live long enough to see someone get up in front of the nation, say going to college makes you a snob, and have that person get applauded by anyone. But Rick Santorum did that 2 years ago. I never thought that I would live long enough to see one political party in my country just say science isn't real. None of this, you know, we just choose not to believe this stuff. Right. It's insane. So someone like Jess, with Jess's background, this is about even more than Jess. Jess is going to be a great member of Congress, but Jess is going to inspire young women and inspire scientists and inspire people who have felt like, I don't want to get involved in politics, to get, and so now what will happen is, instead of having people who are like, I'm just going to be a legacy elected person like Steve Knight, I'm going to go get elected because of my family name, we will have people who are passionate about making differences for people, who will make positive change happen, and who are going to be the actual leaders that this country needs, instead of just being little toadies to the Mercers and the Koch brothers.
Right. So do you think, because, you know, from 2016, where 900 people registered with 900 women registered with Emily's List to 16,000.
Yes.
So do you think that that is a direct response to Absolutely. What's happening? So have you always been political, or is this new for you?
My entire life.
Yeah.
Long as I cannot remember a time where I didn't know who was running for Congress, who was running for statewide office. Both of my grandparents worked in government. I grew up going to protest marches. I have believed my entire life in the power of the people.
Right. So what do you make of this sort of, you know, a lot of people don't understand how government works. Do you think this is an education problem?
It's a huge education problem. We don't teach kids civics anymore.
Right.
And it's extremely important. One of the reasons the Parkland students have been so incredibly effective is they studied government. They studied physics. Civics. And they probably studied physics as well. And, I think, you know, you can see why right-wing Republicans are terrified of education and why they are consistently trying to keep kids stupid. Because intelligent people do not support the regressive anti-science, anti-immigrant, anti-woman, anti-humanity platforms that these people espouse.
Right. And so the first thing you said is that Jess makes a great candidate and she's a woman. So do you want to see more women in elected office?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So why do you think there isn't gender parity in so many places, aka all the places?
Because men are fucking terrible.
Do you think that there's a response, like, in pop culture, especially because that crosses over nicely with what you do?
Yeah.
Does the way we talk about women in popular culture affect the way we talk about women?
Of course
in
it does. Listen, the original Star Trek changed the world by showing a generation of young black women that there was a future for them. It showed a generation of young Asian men that there was a future for them. It showed that there are that people who are different, that they have a place in the future. And that fundamentally changed the world.
Yeah.
And we absolutely, in the entertainment industry, we are artists. We can make art that is controversial. We can make art that is offensive. We can make art that is boring. But everything that we do matters. And I think the art that we make matters in ways that we may not even be aware of. I look at things that are 5 and 10 years old and I'm like, wow, that didn't age well.
Right.
Just because I think that, like, it is long overdue, but I am thrilled that women are finally standing up with other women and saying me too.
Right, right.
And not just about assault, right. about pay equality and about gender parity in the workplace and about a culture that inexplicably treats women like women are somehow less than men.
Right.
Every successful business that I interact with is run by women.
Right, right.
All of my friends right? who have foundations and who run nonprofits, right. hire women. Yeah. Women are just fucking better at this stuff than men are.
They definitely can be.
My wife is the adult in our house.
I know, I'm the adult in my house too.
Yeah.
Weird how it works. So do you think that there's a responsibility in art and pop culture to change, like you said with Star Trek, it changed the way we view women and people of color. Do you think that that is a responsibility of art or a side effect?
I think the responsibility of art is to force people to confront things they would rather pretend don't exist. Mm. I think art needs to be provocative. And it can be provocative in a way that instigates change. It can be provocative in a way that reminds you of something beautiful that you once loved. Like that is what the power of art is. I think that the responsibility for the artist is, I don't think anyone can dictate what that responsibility is.
Okay.
I think that everyone who makes art makes it for a different reason. I hope that voices that have been marginalized, voices that have been silenced, will be amplified now and will be heard, because mediocre men will not be taking the place that that competent women should be in.
Right, right. My last question is, what is an issue that you are particularly passionate about?
Gun control and voting rights.
Yeah.
I want nationwide automatic registration. I want election day to be a federal holiday. Mm-hmm. I want vote by mail. And I want paper ballot backups for everything. We have to fundamentally redraw the way that we do our elections in our country. We need our districts to be drawn in a way that is completely nonpartisan.
Right. Well, Pennsylvania's starting. I mean.
Yes. And North Carolina tried. Oregon and Washington are registering people the day they turn 18. It happens automatically.
California registered at 16.
Right. In Australia, voting is compulsory. I think it should be compulsory in the United States as well. And gun control is the number one issue. I've been saying it since Columbine was right. My first exposure to the absolute horror of gun violence.
Yeah.
And the fact that we are the only major industrialized nation where we have an absolute epidemic on par with our opioid epidemic, yet we insist nothing can be done to change it, is absolutely ridiculous. It is an embarrassment. It is disgusting. And the generations that have allowed this to happen should be remembered with disdain for refusing to act when the solutions to this problem are so clearly laid out right in front of us.
And
working in the rest of the world.
Right, right. And scientific.
And based on science.
Right, the fact that
we could not, that the CDC through, I forget, was it the Hyde Amendment? Said you can't scientifically research that? That's ridiculous.
Right, and this bill, they said that now we can think about thinking about it, but we probably don't provide no funding, so it's not
right.
a real solution.
Well, one of the ways we get funding back is by retaking the House and hopefully
right.
retaking the Senate.
Right.
And electing Jess is going to be a great step toward retaking the House.
I agree. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for letting me get in there.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate it.
All right, y'all, that's it for me. I hope you enjoyed this show as much as I enjoyed making it. Just a quick reminder, we are going to be launching Drexel's new show, Bleep What You Heard, in the coming weeks. So follow at The Bleeping Pod on Twitter for updates. We're very excited about it. And Drexel, as you know, is a wonderful host. And on Twitter, someone said, come for the political commentary, stay for Drexel's announcer voice, which I completely agree with. Have a great weekend, and Drex and I will see you back here on Monday.